Tonight we look at biblical faith. Now, I know that sounds kind of funny, but there is a difference in worldly faith and biblical faith. About a year ago, I had what appeared to be a non-believing interviewer, and I think I can say that with great confidence, not in any kind of derogatory way, but just very obviously not really believing in the things of faith or the Bible or believers, sit down with me and ask me some questions and wanted to know what my definition of faith was. And the first thing that popped in my mind was Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And really, it's kind of a definition, but it's really more of an explanation. I guess the definition we'll give in just a moment of purely what faith is. This is more of a descriptor rather than a definition, but somewhere it fits in the whole category of a definition. And I responded to her and I said, well, it's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11. And then I began to tell her what it said. I don't think she was expecting that. She was doing a lot of different, talking to a lot of different faiths, I guess you could say, in quotes, of how the world would view it, different religious beliefs. And so I think she was surprised that I used the Bible as my reference. I could tell by the shock on her face. I think she wanted to know, what do I think it is? And it was really more of one of these, you know, what do you believe? And what is, you know, what is it to you? And while I think that it's important what we believe really doesn't matter when it comes to truth or non-truth, does it? It really doesn't matter what I believe. The only thing that matters is what is the truth? And then what does the Bible say? And Jesus said the Bible is truth. And so we have to use that as our standard. And she didn't really like that. And she quickly changed the subject. Because I believe her goal was to establish the premise that everyone's definition of faith was different and valid. And maybe even not valid, maybe even just different, and maybe even being used to show how faith was maybe even foolish in some degrees there. And so, again, but when it comes to God's word, faith is not a personal interpretation. It's what God says it is. When it comes to the, you know, what the world thinks about faith and what we think, they can develop their own opinion and say, all right, well, I believe it's this or I believe it's that. And faith to me is this, faith to you is that. But the Bible tells us what faith is. It gives us a definition of faith, and it gives us also the characteristics of faith, which we're going to see tonight. And so it's the biblical faith that I want to look at tonight. Now, what do I mean by worldly faith as opposed to biblical faith? I think we need a little bit of background to understand where I'm coming from or to lay a foundation for tonight. Worldly faith is the conviction that when they, you know, what they decide they're going to trust in, they trust in it. That's worldly faith. I mean, it can be whatever you want it to be. You just create what you're going to put your faith in and what you're going to believe in. And so what you believe in would be your faith, what you come up with. That's a worldly faith. However, a worldly faith will not get you in the kingdom of God. It won't lead to salvation. It has to be a biblical faith the way that God lines it out. And so again, biblical faith is rather a conviction in what God says is true and that we should trust in what he says. So one is based on our own opinions. One is based on what God says. And you'll find that true in most every issue when it comes to you know, faith and the Bible, because you'll have people say, well, to me, here's what I believe. Well, the question is, what does the Bible say? And I know the Bible doesn't say everything clearly on every issue that we might dispute, but the Bible does on the majority of issues make it very clear. And so biblical faith stands on its own when you understand what it is. Now, again, for years I've heard people speak about their faith. You know, I have my faith. And see, here's what we now as believers, you got to make the difference in what are they saying and what is really true faith as far as what the Bible talks about. But a lot of times it's just simply a kind of a password. It's almost like I can say that I have faith or that I'm spiritual. I take my faith very seriously, and that makes it look like you're a person of morals. But again, you may be a person of morals, but if your faith is not in the faith of the Jesus Christ and faith in the Bible, you've got the wrong faith. So understand, when you hear someone say I'm a man or a woman of faith, you really need to understand, you know, okay, what faith? You know, what do you put faith in? I come from a music background, as you guys know. And I remember, you know, being a kid and growing up and, you know, then the rock and roll scene. And people would say, keep the faith, man, you know. And you know what? I don't think we even knew what that meant. I still don't know today what that means. I don't. I can't tell you. As an ex-rocker, and I was, I did rock and roll as a kid, got older and, you know, kind of did some more mellow stuff. But I still don't know what keep the faith and holding up a fist means. I'm not quite sure. But we did it, you know. And I don't know that I ever said keep the faith, but I heard guys say that. And do that. And I was in that scene and all. But you know, as I got, and when I came to the Lord and came to true faith in the Lord and his word, I realized, what are they putting their faith in? It's keep the faith in what? You're a politician of faith in what? Is it a faith that you believe that God's word is accurate and true? Is it a faith that you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father? Or is it just faith in whatever it might be? And so we have to understand what the Bible says faith is, a biblical faith rather than a worldly faith. And be able to make the distinction and make the difference. Now, what's the, you know, definition of faith in the Bible? The word faith that's used in the New Testament is the word pistis, and it means, first of all, the conviction of the truth of anything. But in context of Scripture, it means, and it has a further definition in context of Scripture, it is the conviction of the truth of God and His Word. That is what a believer says when I have faith. It means that I put faith in God's Word, that it's true and that I believe it, and I put faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, the one who's going to get me into heaven. That is biblical faith. Again, worldly faith, there's a lot of them out there, and it can be a whole wide gamut of whatever it is. So, again, we want to make sure that the people that we share with and that we talk to understand the difference in simply saying you have faith and what you put your faith in. Now, some of you tonight, you know, have put your faith in these chairs. You sat down, you said, well, I'm not one to put myself into much faith. Well, you sat down without thinking about it, probably. And yet, the maker of that chair, you put your faith in. And when you sat down, it wasn't going to collapse, you know, and you weren't going to fall down. And so, again, you realize that even in everyday situations, all of us, even the unbeliever, exercises faith to a certain degree. And you'll find some unbelievers who say, well, I don't believe in faith. What they're saying is, I don't believe in Jesus Christ or the Bible. But it's not faith that they're struggling with. It's the faith that we have. It's saving faith unto the Lord. And so, and some people will also say that they can't believe in anything that they can't see or understand. You ever heard that? If I can't see it or understand it, I'm not going to believe in it. Well, you might as well give up wind, electricity, or the nuclear glue in an atom. Because you can't see wind or electricity, and no scientist on earth understands what makes the nuclear glue of an atom work. That is what holds the protons and neutrons together when positives and negatives stay within this realm and begin to rotate and circle. I mean, by all scientific definition, they should simply explode and fly out in all directions. We shouldn't be here. This earth shouldn't be here. But it's interesting, in Colossians, the Bible says that Jesus Christ holds all things together by His power. So what that means is, they don't know what they call the nuclear glue. They don't know what it is. We do. It's the Lord. He's holding all things together. And the Bible says one day He's going to let go. And when He lets go, the Bible says this heaven and earth is going to completely explode in a ball of fire. And He's going to create a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. Peter describes it in Peter talking about the earth will be melted with fervent heat. That's exactly what would happen if you simply let go of the forces that hold an atom together. This nuclear glue, this mysterious force that scientists can't seem to nail down. So to say that you can't believe something you can't see doesn't stand up. To say you don't put yourself as a person of faith, well, you might as well not sit down again. So faith is something we all use, and it's something that we believe in even when we can't see it. The question is for the person who says, I can't believe and I can't have that kind of faith, is what they're saying is, I can't believe the Bible and I can't believe Jesus Christ as my Savior. But to say they don't have some form of faith is just not accurate. Now, there was a while back, one of the teachers in kids' church got all the kids out there, and they were trying to teach them about faith in God and faith in His Word. So they said, I want you to all turn your back to us, and I want you just to close your eyes and drop back, and we're going to catch you, and we're going to teach you about what faith is. They try to give them a picture of faith. You know, it's something you can't see, but you know you're going to be caught or whatever. And so some of the kids did it. When it came to one of my girls, she wouldn't do it. And so the teacher was like, you know what, don't you have any faith? You know, kind of giving her a hard time. She said, oh, I got great faith in God. I just don't have faith in you. And I thought, what a great appropriate answer that is, especially when it comes to the world. Because again, you know, the world says, you know, oftentimes they say they have some form of faith. But the question is it faith in the one that can really catch them? Is it faith in Jesus Christ and the one that can truly save their soul? And so tonight I want to look at biblical faith from two angles. And that is what biblical faith is and what biblical faith is not. And hopefully clarify some of this as we look at these verses. Notice again, verse 1. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, first of all, I want to point out what biblical faith is not here, and that is it is not blind. You know, Christians are often accused of having blind faith by believing in God and believing in the Bible, but nothing could be farther from the truth. Notice the writer here declares that although biblical faith is something not seen, it has two tangible properties, substance and evidence. Note that. I have that underlined in my Bible. Faith is not blind. It is not some step in the dark where we think, oh, I sure hope this works. No, God has a proven track record. And the Word of God has a proven track record. And so there is a substance to it. There is an evidence to it. It's not something where you hang your brain at the door, as some say. You know, there's nothing blind about God or His Word. The word substance, interestingly enough, in context here means that which has an actual existence and is a foundation for something more. Note that. So it has an actual existence and a foundation for something more. That's what faith is. That's the substance of true faith. We realize that it's truly there, even as the wind is really there, but you can't see it. Even as electricity tonight is surging through these wires and lighting up our sanctuary, but you know it's there. It has tangible evidence. You can see the evidence. whether you can explain it or understand it or not. And again, it's interesting. This word is also used in science in reference to something tested and proven. I find that interesting. This particular Greek word is a scientific term for something that is tested and proven. You ever heard somebody say, yeah, you can't prove your faith? You know what? The Bible here says you can. And that is by the substance that comes with it. There's a tangible provability to your faith and a substance to it that is measurable. And as we get in the rest of chapter 11, which we won't tonight, we're going to see with all these different, what they call the hall of faith, all these different men and women of faith that are in here, they all have provable substances to what they believed. Now, you may not have it right away. You know, that's what faith is. It's as he says here, it's the substance of things hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen, you may not have it at the moment, but it will come to fruition. It will come to pass. And so we have all these people that have gone before us that it has come to pass for. So there's a tangible, measurable, if you want to use the word scientific substance, to prove that it even can be proven scientifically. Now, I don't know if you'd get in a debate with that, but science is simply being able to prove something by repeating it in a controlled environment. You can do that with faith. Go throughout history, look at all the people in a controlled environment of the earth who put their faith in God, and God came through, and then the next one, and God came through, over and over. This scientific experiment, if you want to look at it that way, has worked and will continue to work, because it is not this just nebulous nothingness that you try to believe in. It's a real substance. Faith is something you can really grasp onto. So even by worldly standards, you could have a scientific argument pertaining to faith by the evidence and the proof. Now, secondly, the word evidence here, because he goes on to say there's also an evidence that comes with this, the evidence of things not seen, you know, substance of what you know you'll get or what's hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It means something that is proven true by being tested. Interesting. It's proven true by being tested. How was it tested? Again, we're going to see by all these men here in chapter 11, they tested God, not in the sense of testing him as a sin or tempting, but they believed him. And God came through, and so the test was passed. God really did do what he said he would do. And so again, you have this tangible property you can grab onto here. In other words, there's proof that you can see and grab onto, although it may not be immediate. So biblical faith has a solid foundation with confirming evidence, although it cannot be physically seen or touched at the moment. And that is what biblical faith is. Now, what are some examples of a tangible, provable biblical faith? As we said, we'll get into those as we get further into chapter 11. But I wanted to mention a couple tonight just to tie it into what we're doing. Abraham, God said, you're going to have a nation come from you. You know, by faith, he believed that. Well, now let's look at the provable evidence. Did a nation come from Abraham that is still around today? Yes, the nation of Israel. Right there is the tangible proof that his faith had substance. There was evidence for it. What about in foretelling the Messiah? The proof that the Word of God is true. People often ask me as a pastor, you know, Pastor Mark, what about proving the Bible's true? The Bible predicted not only a Messiah, but gave great details, tremendous detail about his life and his death. Even predicting he would die on a cross, being pierced. And that was before crucifixion even existed. Wasn't even invented yet. And so we have tangible proof that what the Bible said came to pass, and it's provable that our faith has an evidence. It has a substance. Again, there's a validity to it. Thirdly, notice biblical faith is not hopeless. He says, you know, it's things hoped for. It's the substance of things hoped for. Although not yet seen, biblical faith comes with great hope. And why again? Because there's a track record. You know, I look back and I think, Lord, look what you've done in my life. There's a track record to it. If I come to a place where I have a financial need or I have a physical need or I have whatever you name it, God has been faithful every time up until this point. I have a track record I can look back on now and say, you know what? Every time, Lord, you came through. Every time. And you're going to do it again. And I've often said, and I shared again last week with one of the staff, I said, you know, I get to see a lot of things as a pastor that the body doesn't get to see in general. Because I know things that are going on behind the scenes in people's lives, in the church activity and everything. I know what's going on. And when I see a need that suddenly gets supernaturally met at just the right time, I mean, I get to see that stuff all the time. It's really a very privileged position I'm in. You talk about a faith builder. And it's exciting to see it. And so again, it's not hopeless. It comes with hope. And why hope? Because if God's been 100% accurate up to this point, why would I think he's going to miss now? I have hope. He's going to come through. I don't know how. I don't know when. But I know he's going to. God will not be proven wrong. Fourthly, as we have seen, by definition, biblical faith is not, again, because the biblical definition here is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, as well as faith in the Bible and in Jesus Christ. So we have a definition of it. But it's interesting now, when we talk about that being faith, what we find out about faith is not some kind of force that you can, you know, mold in a shape or a box or grab onto. It's not some kind of nebulous force out there. It's simply believing in God and believing in His word and believing in His power. You know, I've oftentimes heard people say that, you know, prayer changes things. Really, prayer doesn't. Now, I'm going to be technical for a moment. Jesus changes things. It's not prayer. Now, I know what we mean, right? When we say prayer changes things, come on, Mark, we're all Christians. We mean when Christians pray to Jesus, He moves and things change. We know that. But the world today actually believes there's some nebulous force out there that you can tap into to change things. And they actually pray. They get involved in prayer and meditation, thinking if we just get in tune with this force that's out there, you know, they call it this energy. Get in tune with the energy. Have you heard that? There's an energy here. You get around these, you know, the psychics and the mediums and all that stuff. You know, that they get into all that, just dabbling into the demonic realm and all that. And one of the things you'll hear them talk about is there's an energy. There's an energy here. And so to them, when you talk about that, there's this whole kind of idea that prayer itself, you know, focusing energy itself changes things. Nonsense. It's the Lord that changes things. And so it's who we pray to and what we believe in. And again, sadly enough, even within the church, there are certain teachers called, you know, faith teachers, that they believe by simply the words they use, they can create their own reality. You know, if you say the right words, speak positive all the time. There's a big push today for the positive confession stuff. Nonsense. The Bible doesn't give that as a biblical use nor a biblical definition of faith. I do believe that we can be, you know, there's a difference in having a positive outlook and a negative outlook. Certainly, that's nothing wrong in that. You know, it's good to have a positive outlook. I by nature, am the type of person who, you know, just to be honest, oftentimes have the, you know, the pessimistic, you know, outlook. God is changing me where I'm getting to be more optimistic, you know, and it seems as though Tracy, you know, God balances us out because she seems to have more of the, you know, the positive outlook on things. You know, I think, well, that's it, you know, and whatever. And she's like, no, this will be fine, you know. And so you guys know that. Some of you are that way, and you have those personalities. So that does affect your life. It really will. But it's not the words that you say that somehow create what your reality is. Guys, that's making yourself out to be a god. The thing that's scary about this teaching coming in the church, it's been here for many years. It's not new. But when people say they can, you know, is, you know, name it and claim it, or, you know, just speak it out and eventually they'll get it, that means you're God. You are the one making it happen. And they'll say things like, yes, but notice in the Bible, God spoke, and we'll get to verse 3, by His word, you know, these things were created. You know, my answer is always, you're forgetting one small detail. It was God who spoke. Okay, when God speaks, things happen. When you speak, they don't. Okay, because He's God and you're not. That's a huge variance there. And yet, it's something where people think they can speak positively or manipulate faith and get some kind of positive result, but it does not fit the biblical definition. So it's important to understand that that's not a part of what God's word says we're to be doing, or that fits the biblical definition of faith or where we're to operate. So again, it's the evidence of things not seen. Notice verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Now the elders here, I believe he's going to go on to talk about who those elders are, the people that went before us. You know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all these guys, they went before us, they're elders, you know, and they led the way. And so he says, by it they obtained a good testimony. Now notice, again, he declares it was with their biblical faith that they obtained this good testimony. And again, as I said, we'll get into more detail about what their testimonies were and how it was a good testimony of faith next week. But guys, we need to realize that we too should be obtaining a good testimony by our faith. And what do I mean by that? Well, I mean, people watch us. By living out our faith in God and His word in front of people around us, they can see that we can also obtain a good testimony. You know, we can also get a bad testimony by not believing God's word, can't we? And panicking, you know, when things go wrong. And I think all of us have panicked from time to time. But again, if we're walking with the Lord, God has a way of balancing us out and giving us the grace that we need. You know, when you face a crisis as a Christian, you can be sure the unbelieving world around you is watching. They're watching. Because they want to see how you're going to react. And, you know, you didn't ask for it. You might think, well, that's not fair, you know. They just do. They know you're a Christian. They want to find out, are you any different in those situations? You can be developing a good testimony by how you react in that. Showing that God is faithful. I believe in the Lord. I don't see how it's going to happen. I don't see what's going to work out in all this. It looks like, you know, bad news to me. But I believe it's going to work out. And so they'll find out you really believe what you preach. And if you pass the test of faith before them, again, you will obtain a good testimony, the same way the elders and those that have gone before us have done so. Now, again, also notice they developed a good testimony because of who they put their faith in. And again, we talked about that already. And that's not some mystical force or something we believe in, but what the Bible says. So the elders obtained a good testimony. And then he says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now again, notice lastly, he declares that it is by faith that the very worlds we see were made. But they were made with things that were unseen. So there's a faith involved in that. You know, this word not only includes the very planets and stars, but it's interesting. This talks about even the ages and the times, you know, different ages. God has created them. And so he's put all this together. And his point is, although we were not able to physically see God create everything, the substance and evidence, of everything that he has created gives us great confidence that what he has said, he has done and he will do. God said it. God said, let there be light. What do we have? Well, light. You know, God said, let the earth bring forth the seed after its kind, you know, the animal after its kind. And that's exactly what we see. That's exactly what we have. So again, there's a great measure of faith there that comes in just by seeing that God said it. And that's exactly what happened. But notice again, he says it was by his word, all these things were created. God simply spoke it. That's amazing to me. The power in the word of God, you know, can you imagine? I'm glad that, you know, he knows exactly what to say before it comes out of his mouth, you know. I think about, you know, if we had that kind of power, we'd say something we wish we didn't, you know, and it'd be too late, you know. And so God has this creative power, and he's perfect, and he speaks it into existence. And so, again, we see God, you know, here showing that it's by his very word. Now, this is interesting to me because in this verse as well, this verse alone does away with the Big Bang Theory. You know, we talk about the Big Bang Theory and all this. Basically, the theory says there was this small, compact amount of matter that was under great pressure and finally just exploded. What the Bible says is there was nothing there. It wasn't even matter. There was nothing. And so God just spoke it, and there it is. And yet, again, if man would simply believe what God's word says, you know, let me just say this. If you simply believe God's word, you're never going to be ashamed. A lot of people try to give us as believers a hard time by saying, you believe God's word, and you believe it literally, and you believe this and that. I can promise you, you will never be ashamed when you stand before the Lord for simply believing his word. You're never going to be ashamed. Now, you might, you know, get out of some shame down here if you kind of hide behind it and don't do it. But when you stand before the Lord, you know, I would rather stand before the Lord and have believed his word literally and find out I was wrong than to stand before him and say, well, it couldn't have been that. It was? Oh, I wish I'd have just believed it. You see, I'd much rather stand before him and say, I believed it. He says, well, there's maybe some minor corrections here that need to be made, but you did the right thing in believing my word. And so you're never going to be ashamed that you believed God's word. And so faith, understanding it. You know, as we finish tonight, we need to know that by putting our faith in the Lord and his word, you know, we can have great confidence that it's true. And how can we have great confidence? Again, not blind faith, not doubting. We have substance. We have evidence. And, you know, that's what really struck out to me, you know, or rather stuck out to me. I remember when she was asking those questions, you know, and she was saying, what is faith to you? And on, I read that verse there and I said, you know, it's got substance. There's evidence to it. It's not just my belief system or what I think is right. There's provable stuff for thousands of years and God's faithfulness. And you know, that gives me great confidence. That should give you great confidence as well. It's, yes, Lord. You know, we know it's true. We can have confidence in it. Not simply because we want it so badly or that we want to believe it so badly, but God has proven himself through the ages. And so because of that, we can trust. And hence, our faith in God's word comes again with that substance and evidence that leads to confidence. But note this also, and this may be for some of you tonight that are feeling hopeless. Notice he also says faith comes with hope. You know, he says there in the first verse, it's the substance of things hoped for. And so when you see God's faithfulness, and as we get into this chapter and read about what God has done and remind ourselves of all these things God did for these people that believed in him, you know, that should give us great hope to realize God's going to do the same thing for us. And so no matter how bad your situation is right now, there's no reason to leave here feeling hopeless, but to leave here feeling confident in the Lord and to leave here having a great hope in the Lord. Because if we truly believe by faith what God's word says, we know he will not only be faithful while we're here on earth, but he's going to be faithful forever. You know, that's what I look forward to. God's going to be faithful. Nobody's going to prove the Lord wrong. He's always going to be standing in the place of right and be standing in the place of faith. So I say we pray with the Lord tonight, you know, Lord, increase our faith. You know, there's two kinds of faith. There's a faith that God gives automatically, and that is a faith that God gives to everyone to believe. We talked about that. Then there's another kind of faith that God gives, and that is the faith of increasing faith. As we read the Word of God, the Bible says as we study God's Word, our faith increases and our faith grows. And so even tonight, just hearing God's Word and reading God's Word, our faith has grown. And seeing God act in our lives, it makes our faith grow. And so I think we need to ask for God to help us to increase our faith. But when we ask Him to do that, what does that mean? We have to do our part. That is get in the Word. Spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. And God says He will increase our faith. And so that's what I want to ask the Lord to do tonight, is increase our faith. And again, for some of you that might not have put your faith in the Lord, the Bible says God has given a measure of faith tonight. Right now, you have the faith to believe. God has given you the ability to believe. It's a gift of God. He just gave it. But now what you do with that gift, whether or not you accept it and say, all right, I realize I have that right now, the ability to believe, you've got to make the choice as to whether or not you're going to receive Him. And it's just simply a matter of saying, yes, Lord, I confess my sin. I believe You've died for me, and I give myself to You. And I encourage you as well, if you haven't done that, do that.